Let's go on right quick. Say, I'm listening. The Lord said, I am opening eyes as never before. In who? All those who truly call upon my name with a sincere heart and a mind of total belief. Now listen, he opened up the scripture to me as I have never realized it before. If you can believe, all things are possible, as all things are subject to my command. Listen closely to this. This is where we've missed. Believing in God's absolute authority. This is not positive thinking. It is believing that God is all-powerful and is responsive to our needs. If you can believe, you can do it, you can do it. No, 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 no. It's if you can believe that God can do it. It's belief. Now let me show you. Mark 9:22-23. And this is in the New Living Translation. I hope you understand. About the boy that the father wanted him to be delivered. Picking right in the story. The father's explaining to Jesus what happens to him. Mark 9:22. The evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can. This is the scripture that comes before the one that's oft quoted. Verse 23, Jesus speaking. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Believes what? Now let's put it in context. He said, what do you mean if I can? This translation helps you to understand. And if you read it in the others, in light of this, you'll see that's exactly what he was saying. The man just said, do something if you can. He says, what do you mean if you can? And then he says, if you believe. If you believe what? In context, he's saying, if you believe that I can, all things are possible. If I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly replied, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. I do believe, and help me not to doubt. That's a prayer that God will answer every time. I do believe. Help me not to doubt. Help me to stand on the word of God. Help me to stand on the revelation of this moment. Help me to stand on the illumination of this moment. Help me to stand on what the Holy Spirit has said. So positive thinking is, well, if you can see it, you can have it. That is not true. And if you do it that way, that's witchcraft. And there is power to a certain extent in the human mind separate from God. But it's alien and it's fallen and it's demonic and it's subject to influence by the Antichrist. What we're not visualizing in our own mind that it can be. We are visualizing in our own mind that it can be through Christ, that He can do it. You say, well, that don't sound like a difference. If you listen with the Spirit, you'll hear a big difference. You say, well, just visualize yourself prosperous. Visualize by faith. Faith is the substance of faith, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let your belief in what God has said let you know that it is as if it were there. I told this to somebody, a preacher, don't care much for most of what he says, but he did give a funny illustration. It's supposed to be true. Somebody asked this little girl what faith is, and she said, well, faith is something that you believe that you know deep down in your heart is not true. Now you think about that. That's not faith. Faith comes in our union with Christ, where we know Him, so we know He'll do it. We know His power, so we know He can. We know His compassion, so we know He will. Y'all get the difference there? We're not talking about positive thinking. We're talking about knowing God. And so He was saying, if you can believe in me, if you can believe that I can, all things are possible. Totally changes where the focus is there. And I think we'd be a lot better off to put it there. Because now we've got a lot of people just preaching positive thinking to people that don't even know Christ. Oh, well. I can tell y'all are tired of that horse, but I'm not. Then the Lord said, and we going to wrap up here in a minute. He said, your flesh sight limits the boundaries of your consideration. And you suppose that I am subject to these limitations. I used to have a dream often. I haven't had it lately. But I would dream that I was in my house. And you know how it is in a dream that it's your house. It may not be exactly what your house is, but you know you're in your house. Blah, blah, blah. And then I would walk to a door that I had never, ever noticed. I'm sure that many of you have probably had similar dreams. And when I would open the door, there's a whole area, huge, of which I was never aware. And in the dream, I'm saying, why haven't I lived in here? How many of you have ever had a similar? The last time I had this dream, I'm not a blue person, but when I opened the door, everything was blue velvet. Like a sky, like a powder blue velvet. And I'm thinking, wow! This is mine? But that's what the Lord is saying here. He said, let me get your flesh sight. What you've seen as being the boundaries and limits controls your area of consideration. You're not even thinking to walk into some things because you don't see it. You can't imagine it. You can't walk into it if you don't know it's there. But as we are united with Christ, all things, as we see Him, we become like Him because we see Him as He is. And now nothing is impossible because we know Him. Psalm 50:21. The Lord speaking through the psalmist. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. And set what in order? All the charges. The Lord says, you think I'm thinking the way you do. You're cute. You know, you've got bias. No. I'm not like you. Now, Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now he's speaking to the natural unchanged man here. Neither are my ways, are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. A good example of this is an example I brought to you before, Acts 8:20-23, where Simon the magician sees the apostles lay their hands on some people and they receive the Holy Spirit and says, oh, let me pay you something. Give me the power to give this. Ooh, I can get back on that horse here in a minute, but I'm going to leave him in stall. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money? You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. Now listen to what he says to him. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound or held captive by iniquity. He looks deep within the heart of this man. He says, you're operating out of bitterness and iniquity. So we tend to inform God according to our experience. God in the box of our experience. God in the box of our hurts, our limitation. And then we never look beyond that. We never assume beyond that. We think that He is like that, and He is not. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We don't even think to do it because we don't think that He cares. You suppose that I am subject to these limitations. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Let's read that before I read the other part. I already read that. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. As you think, so it has been for you. Now, this is not the scripture that says that a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's a good scripture, but it's often misused. Because what the context of it is, if someone acts like they have good intentions towards you, but inside they really have it in for you, it says they're going to eventually get you. And then it says, because as they think, so they are. In other words, as they're thinking, they're going to eventually do you. But when the Lord says here, as you think so it has been for you, he's saying the fact that as we have formed God in our own image of our life and our experiences and our hurts and our disappointments, that's the God that we're serving. And we're not getting much out of that, are we? And in doing that, we're actually closing ourselves off from, for lack of a better way of saying it, the real God. Did you all understand what I'm saying to you? We live in him according to what our life has done to us. When you see beyond that, you're free from what your life has done to you. And now you walk into things you never could have considered. But now I show you a way that you did not know was there. That secret room. Oh my God in heaven. We need this power. I'm telling you, I am not trying to alarm you. I'm trying to arm you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful way of saying it. I'm not trying to alarm you. I'm trying to arm you. You're going to need to know the true and living God. He said, but now I show you a way that you did not know was there. A path of total dependence upon me and total reliance upon what I have said and what I am saying to you. Look at Isaiah 55, 10, 11 now. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, that shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, as God, he's using the example of the rain. The rain comes down on seeds that are already there, doesn't it? Y'all, when the Lord is opening this up to me, I don't see it yet, but I'm going to see it all. His purpose is planted in you already. Now his word comes down like rain. And what is it? What is the rain prospering? The seed that is already there. Isn't that right? So when his word now comes into your life, it prospers those things that he's already put in there. Inside of you. Oh, let me read on, because he gave me more about this. What I have said and done serve as a framework, and I'll explain this to you, through which my Holy Spirit speaks concerning your individual needs. Up until now, my word is edited by your experience and is formed according to your imagination. Now, what does this mean, a framework? This place of reference where anything that God wants to do is coming through my imagination, my thought, where I put him in my life, the limitation according to my hurts and everything I've already said 10 times. But he said, as you believe my word, as you let my word rain down upon you, now everything I'm speaking to you individually will come through and be set upon the power of my word. We're trying to receive a word from God and we don't have a foundation on which to put it. Because we're trying to put a good seed on top of our junk. I'm going to say it again. We're trying to put that good seed. We're trying to make our gift that God has put in us prosper by the junk that we tell it. Say, well, I'm not telling it. Your mind is always working. Your mind is always working. And you're always telling yourself something. Let it be what God has said.